when I got up here on Friday afternoon, I always ask Mama, you know, how everybody's doing. And so I asked how everybody was doing in Glasgow, and I got a lot of devastating news. And Virginia Anderson probably remembers Uncle Tommy. He has been diagnosed with liver cancer and also colon cancer. And if that wasn't bad enough, my aunt's in the hospital with low sodium in her blood, so she was in the hospital. And then Loretta, my cousin, her husband has been diagnosed with cancer of the pancreas and only has very few weeks to live. And so, of course, getting all that news within the first 5 minutes of being in Mama's house, you know, I was kind of struck back. But then I, you know, just remembered that there's a lot of grounds for miracles there. And I truly believe in divine healing. And but if it is not his choice to heal, they'll be healed on the other side. And we always, you know, find comfort in that, or I do. And the ones that do know the Lord, and I think all of them do, thankfully. But this is an old song, but it's been on my heart, because we have, those of us who do know the Lord, and he is our Lord and Savior, we have this to look forward to when it is our time to go home. And that's what it is. We're going home. We're just, you know, here for just a visit. This is not our home.
Amen.
And we have to remember that. But so you all pray for me. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell Jesus that I thank him so, coming for to carry me home. I'm looking forward to my chariot ride. I hope everybody here is. But, you know, that is just such a sweet song. And I love the old hymns, because they were written before royalties were invented, and you know, a lot of the reasons that people write music now. But, you know, they wrote from their heart and what God had laid on their heart, and deliverance from their work and their toil and their trials. So you all just have that to look forward to. So sing with me. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Bless you, Sister Carol. Appreciate that very much. Again, today, I certainly ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you. I know, in fact, I learn more and more all the time that I just can't do anything without the Lord. And so I ask an interest in your prayers today. The scripture I'd like to share with you will be, my reading lesson will consist of 13 verses, and they will be the 13 verses that make up the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So if you would like to read with me, I would ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, begin reading with verse 1. First Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's the 13 verses, as I said, that make up 1 Corinthians 13 and Paul's discourse to them on the agape love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to use this for a title today, From a Distance. And what I'd really like for you to think about with me for a little while, I've had this thought on my mind all week long. It's just been burning in my heart. I want you to think with me today for just a little while about seeing things from a distance. And the thoughts and the message that the Lord has placed upon my heart today, I believe this anyway. I believe that it's going to be received today with different levels of understanding. When I look around the congregation today, I don't believe that Brother Jake Riley or Brother Caleb Hayes or many other of the younger Christians here today, I don't believe that you will see this on the level that I will. I believe there are people here today that are going to have a greater understanding of it than what I have. Because I think that what I want to speak about today is something that we see more and more as we live and go through this life. And so I'm persuaded that those who have been living their lives for the Lord and serving the Lord and have been on the journey longer than I have are going to have a greater understanding of this than what I do today. But I want you to think about that thought about seeing something from a distance. And the verses that I really want to speak about in this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians will be verses 9 through 12. And I want to read them again. I want you to really think about what was being said here. For we know in part. He's talking about, Paul was talking about at that present time. He's saying right now in this life, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And I understand today that there are differing views, differing opinions on what Paul was actually saying here. I know there are various views about what he was talking about when he spoke about that which is perfect coming. But all I can do today is preach God's word and what I believe it says. And so I ask an interest in your prayers in that way. Do you suppose that when... Let me share this verse before I go any further. From Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. From a distance they saw them and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, talking about the patriarchs of old, having seen from a distance things that God had promised, they were persuaded of them to the point that they embraced them and confessed that they were in fact pilgrims and strangers on the earth, but they were seeing God's promises afar off. They were seeing them from a distance. And of course, there are many things, many ways, and many analogies and metaphors and parables that we could use. But I think that we all understand seeing something from a distance. Do you suppose that there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, when God had appeared to Abraham and told him there to take his son, his only son, Isaac, to take him there to the land of Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering, the Bible talks that as they started the journey, that Abraham looked and he beheld that place from afar. He saw it in the distance. And I think that anything that you and I look at, we could look at any type of object from a long ways off and see the form of it, see the reality of it, but the particulars about it and the ways that it is unique, we're not going to be able to see them until we draw closer to it. And so I'm sure that as Abraham and Isaac and the company that was with them, I'm certain and confident that as they approached Moriah, that mountain came more and more into view. They were able to see more about what it looked like the closer that they got to it. It's my understanding in what little bit of history that I have read about the Jewish people in the days of Christ, when they would come from various places to worship in Jerusalem, when they would come there from different areas to come to Jerusalem to observe the temple worship, there were certain directions, the way that Jerusalem was located and situated, there were certain directions that they would come from that they wouldn't see a whole lot of the city until they suddenly rounded this area, and there they would see Jerusalem in view. They would get a good look at the holy city of Jerusalem, but they couldn't really see it that well as they were traveling towards it. And I think that, and am convinced and have experienced, perhaps is the best way to put it, that God brings things into view for us as we travel the road. And Sister Carol is right in what she said this morning. We're not here permanently. We are only on a journey. And it's a short journey at that. But I'll tell you what, I would rather be journeying with the Lord than anybody else I could think of. I thank God for the people that He has brought into my life. I mean that with all my heart. I thank God for the friends that He's given me. I thank God for my church family, for the people that God has allowed me to know and love and has brought into my life. I'm thankful for good Christian friends. But just a few days ago, there at my house, I sat down in my study, and there wasn't anybody but me and the Lord. And man, I had a good time in the Lord. I got happy, and I got to shouting, and I thought after a little while when I kind of came to myself, I thought, well, you know, there's nobody here but me and God, but that's all right. I mean, we were having a good time. I'm thankful to know the Lord. I remember when, and as I think back, when I started preaching about soon be 28 years ago, I realize now as I look back how little that I knew about the Lord. I realize now that I don't know a whole lot, but thank God He has allowed me to learn some things about Him. He has allowed me to see some things, and I guess the thought that I have more than anything and have had on my heart all week is that there are things that God is bringing into view, and when I see them, I like them. When God allows me to take a look, I like what I see. I'm excited about what's ahead. And the older that I get and the further that I go, the more excited I seem to get about what's ahead. I spoke about last week about our hope, about our expectations, our anticipations of things. And, before long, just like in a natural sense of what I spoke about there, about those people approaching the city of Jerusalem, before long we're going to make that last turn in the road, and we're going to see the holy city. So I'm thankful and excited about what lies just ahead. In the verses that I read there from 1 Corinthians, and sometimes we may have the idea that we know more than what we actually know. And I thought about when I read this and thought about what Paul said about how that when he was writing at this present time, he said, we only know part. We know in part. Whatever we do is partial. He said, we know in part. We prophesy in part. But one day there's coming a much fuller revelation when that which is perfect is come. When God perfects in us that, then these things that are in part are going to be done away with. I thought about so many things, and I think that you all will well understand this, because I don't mean this with any disrespect at all. I think you'll understand what I'm saying. But when I studied this, I thought about different people that I know. I thought about Brother Wheat. I thought about how that it impresses me. And I don't mean to boast or anything like that, but I thought about how that it impresses me when I come and I hear him teach Sunday school about all of the scriptures that he brings out. All of his, the things that he seems to remember from the Bible, and being able to say, the Bible says here and the Bible says there, and David said this and Solomon said this, and quoting all these things before us. But then I thought, how limited really that his knowledge actually is. I thought about preachers that I know, Brother Moran and others that I've known and admired and looked up to, and have been amazed with the knowledge that they seem to possess. And then I thought about what Paul said. Paul said, we just know in part. And I probably have never lived in my lifetime. I have probably never lived among anybody that has been as knowledgeable about the things of God as Paul was. But still, he said, we only know part of it. We're seeing, he compared it to seeing through a glass darkly. And I guess when I think about here in this earthen vessel, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, and I think about how that we are able in this earthly vessel to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been some times for me lately here in our worship services that my heart has just jumped for joy. My heart has just rejoiced in the Lord, and I believe that you are feeling the same thing. And sometimes those feelings manifest themselves in our physical bodies. They manifest themselves in our actions. I think what happens when a person begins to shout the praises of God, if they're truly shouting the joys and the thoughts of the things in their soul have just overtaken their bodies. I think that's what happened to the disciples there on the day of Pentecost. The joys of what was happening there, the pleasure that they felt in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God just overtook them. And the way that they were acting is why that those men looked at them not being able to spiritually discern what was going on. And the best thing they could come up with is said, well, they're drunk. Well, they were drunk. They were intoxicated, but not on wine. And that's what Peter said. You know, these men are not full of new wine. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams. And this is what's happening. The Spirit of the Lord has overtaken them. And so God allows us through our life to feel these things and experience these things. And when I think about how good that it feels, you know, I can't explain to you, I really can't, to this day. It happened 35 years ago, and I can't explain to you to this day exactly when the Lord saved me. I just can't explain all of it to you. Some of you have been saved longer than I have, and I've heard some of you testify to the same fact that I just can't explain it all. And I can't explain it all. There's parts of it that I just can't explain. But I do know this, that it sure made me feel good. And it made me know some things. And you know what? The very moment that I got saved, I knew that God had set my soul free. I knew it. I knew that that had happened to me. I knew that I'd been saved. I knew that I wasn't lost anymore. I knew that I wasn't on my way to hell anymore. But you know what? I can appreciate that here some 35 years later. I can appreciate that, I believe, much more than even when it happened that day. And I've learned more about it. I can see the beauty of the kingdom of Christ. God has allowed that. God has helped me. I can see the beauty of the kingdom of Christ better than I used to be able to see it. I can know and appreciate what a blessed privilege that it really is. Listen, don't ever take it lightly. Too many of God's people take it way too lightly. I can appreciate greater what it means to be privileged to be a member of the Lord's church than I could in my younger years. But no matter what, before we leave this world, and incidentally, did you know, by the way, that the definition of a disciple is a learner, a student? If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord, you're going to be learning about Him all the days of your life. You see, when we get saved by the grace of God, regeneration takes place in our heart. And we get saved in a moment. I don't believe about this. I don't believe this gradual salvation. I don't believe in getting a little bit of it now and a little bit of it later. I don't think the Bible will support that. When we get saved, when we get regenerated, we get saved in an instant. But we do get sanctified all through our life, don't we? There is a continual process of growth. And as we go, we learn about the things of God if we apply ourselves. I'll tell you what, they made a plea this morning for the youth groups. The people of God ought to be in church. I thought about when they were making a plea for the youth groups, I thought about, you know, I want to tell you that if you have been saved by God's grace, there's way, in my estimation, you can take it or leave it, like it or not like it, but in my estimation, there's way too much inconsistency among the people of God. There's way too much inconsistency among the members of this church when it comes to attending worship service. Way too much inconsistency. When we, when it's time to go to church, we ought to have a desire to do so. I mean, there ought to be a great desire in our heart to go and assemble and be together in the house of God. But you know what? Sometimes we do. We get cold. We become indifferent. Sometimes we let the devil have his way with us. But you know what? If you wake up and it's time to go to church, and even if you're feeling like, well, I'm feeling drab and I don't really want to go to church, we ought to come out of love and of desire. But you know what? If we don't have it at the time, we've still got an obligation to God to assemble and worship. We've got an obligation. As members of the church, we have an obligation. We are commanded in His word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's a great part of our growth. We need to be fed. These the spiritual side of us needs to be fed, just like the natural side of us. Our natural body has to have food to be strong and to go on. And our spiritual man needs food. We need to be fed from the things that come from the table of the Lord. God's Word feeds us. It spiritually nourishes us, and we need it, and we need to expose ourselves to it that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We need to pray. We need to spend time pouring our hearts out to the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, prayer is essential. I'm telling you, friends, it is essential to the growth of a Christian. And the more you pray, the closer you'll get to God. And the closer you get to God, the closer you're going to see things. The closer you get to God, the more He's going to bring into view. And the happier you're going to be. And the greater you're going to rejoice. But no matter how much we learn, no matter what height of knowledge we're able to attain, as long as we live here, I'm convinced we're going to know a small part. We're only going to know a small part of things. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We know in part, prophesy in part. But thank God there is a day of perfection coming. Paul, I believe here, when he spoke about being a child, that he was speaking in reference to our spiritual lives as well. And yes, when we were children, we acted like children. But you know, it's disgraceful for an adult in our adult years, it's shameful for adults to continue to live and to act and to think like children, isn't it? When we mature, we put those things away. I know sometimes we all act up, but I'm talking about living our lives like we're still children. Paul said, I put those things away. When I was a child, when I was in my adolescence, that's the way I thought, that's the way I acted, that's the way I lived. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, and through that which God is going to perfect in those of us as His people, we now are living in our spiritual lives in many ways. We're just always going to be children. We're only going to be able to know so much. I guess that what I'm trying to tell you today, I'm not doing a very good job of it, but there's some things ahead that you're going to be amazed. We're going to be amazed at what we're going to see. We may think now that we have, you know, an understanding, but we really don't. We really don't. We just got a little bitty part. Just enough, I think, to keep us going. Just enough to keep us pressing on as we go through, as I said, as we live and we go through our Christian life. We do learn. We should learn. We should grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. If you don't apply yourself, you never will. If you don't apply yourself, you'll always be a spiritual baby. But if you'll study the Word of God, if you'll come and expose yourself to the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, if you'll exercise the gift of prayer that God has given us, then through the process of sanctification, we will become closer to the Lord, and things will come into view. They will come into view. But they won't unless we apply ourselves to know more about God. Now we see through a glass darkly. We've just got a very dim view of things. You know, I could use every, I could stand before you today and I could preach to you and use every verse of Scripture that is found in the entire Bible that talks about the joys of heaven, that talks about the things that await the people of God. I could stand before you for hours and quote and read every verse of Scripture that is written about the city that God has prepared for His people. And I promise you that if we did that today, that when we left here, we would still be looking at heaven through a glass darkly. We wouldn't even begin to understand the joys of heaven and the things that are waiting for us. If Paul saw it darkly, I promise you we're seeing it darkly. But then he said, when that which is perfect is come. You know what? I can tell you this today. I'm not what I ought to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But thank God also that right now, at this present time, I'm not all that I'm going to be. Sometimes I think perhaps when we think about being saved, and I do believe that when God saved us, that we got all the salvation we need. Amen? I believe that. I don't believe we need any more salvation. I believe when God spoke peace to our soul, that He gave us all that we need to make it from this world into the world to come, into heaven. But listen, there are benefits of salvation that we receive along the way. And when God saved us from our sins, the Bible teaches me that He just began a work in us. We have the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And we're looking towards the holy city, Jerusalem. We're looking towards heaven itself, and we're viewing it through a dim glass, and we know a little bit, and we have a little bit of knowledge. But one day, Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. This limited knowledge that we have of the things of God will be done away with one of these days, and it'll all unfold before us. God will bring us to a state of perfection where we can face to face look at the things of God, and that dark glass won't be between us and Him anymore. If that don't get you going, you need to pray for yourself. We won't have that obstructed view one day shortly, here shortly. We won't have that obstructed view that we have now. How's it looking, Brother Doss? Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light, that what? That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day. Paul said in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Are you seeing things? You know, it's an important question. I believe this is an important question today to the people of God. Are you seeing things? Are you seeing it? You got a vision of it? Is it coming into view? As you live your life and you think about these things, are they becoming clearer to you? Because if there's not, then something's wrong. And you need to find out what's wrong and get it corrected, because the things of God ought to be clearer to us now than they were when we first believed. I see heaven. Just a little glimpse of it, but I see it. I see it. And God brings more and more and more of it into my view the longer that I live. And so that's why I told you today, I believe Brother Dawson, Brother Lowe, and many of you here, I won't try to name every name, but I believe that many of you here today know more about what I'm talking about than I know myself. Because when you approach something, when you go near, when you journey towards something, the closer you get, the clearer it becomes. Does it not? I mean, that works even with our natural eyes. If there was some kind of red dot on the back of the wall, I could see the red dot, but the closer I got to it, I could tell if it was exactly circular or if it was square. I could see it. I could tell the specifics, and that's the way it is with the things of God. The closer we get, the clearer things become. I understand more about the great love of God that Paul was writing about here than I used to, and thank God that I do. But one day, I'm going to really understand the love of God. Not on the same plane with him, but in the same manner, face to face. That's what it's talking about. But then face to face, in the same manner, we'll stand before him one day, face to face. You know, God can see, God can look at me right now, and he can see everything about me. But I'm living by faith. I haven't seen him yet, but I will. One day, face to face. Stephen got a really good look just before he left the world, didn't he? I mean, there he was. I've thought about that so many times. There he was getting his brains beat out with rocks, getting his body beat up with rocks. I'll tell you what, when life gets rough, I'll give you this real simple instruction. When life gets hard, and I believe it's already been mentioned here this morning, it does get hard. When life gets hard, when life gets rough, when the rocks are being thrown, when you're getting beat on, when the waves of life are tossing your ship about, there's only one thing that you've got to do to get consoled. All you've got to do is look up. That's it. You've got to look up. Isn't that what Stephen did? And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up into heaven. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And what was Stephen's proclamation there as he was losing his life? Well, you know what? I believe after what Stephen saw, I believe he would have been content to say, "Let the stones fly. The quicker they hit me, the better." Because you ought to see what I'm seeing. I went out this week. I want to tell you this. I went out this week. I sat with Brother Mark Cottle's grandmother this week. She sat there and wept. Wept. You know, you hear a lot of times about people that know they're sick and stuff, and they pray, "Oh, I want the Lord to spare me." She sat there and she wept. And she said, "I don't know why I have to stay here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I want the Lord to come and get me." And you know what I think? I don't think when I left there and she was crying and I was crying and I was happy in the Lord that, you know, somebody could feel that way about things. And you know what? I don't believe that it's just a desire to leave her old body behind. Friends, I'll tell you exactly what I think. I believe she's seeing some things. I believe some things are coming in view. She sees a better place, a better realm, and wants to go. We're in a strait betwixt two. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. I don't know what all of you individually think about death, but I'll tell you this. If you're saved, you won't lose a thing when you die. You won't lose one thing. Don't you be afraid of it. You listen to what Jesus said. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid, because if you've been saved, you won't lose a thing when you leave this world. You'll be looking at things. If I could talk, if Brother Ralph was to go on today, and if I could talk to him, and I say, why don't you come back? He'd say, no thanks. No thanks. I'm telling you, it gets better farther on. We're just seeing a little bit of it, folks, just a little bit. We've just got enough to whet our appetite. But one day, face to face, I mean, there's some things that are going to be revealed to us. You talk about the term that's used, it'll blow your mind. There's going to be some things revealed to us that will just, well, I guess if we knew them right now, we wouldn't even be able to withstand it in this body. So God gives us what we need. I appreciate your attention today. I thank the Lord for His promises. And I thank God for what I can anticipate. If you don't know the Lord and the pardon and forgiveness of sin, you don't have anything to look ahead to but eternal torment and torture. But I'm looking like Stephen did. I'm looking to that day there to be with Christ and to be with Him forever and forever. So